Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with Captain Karen Hookham. And we have on the line with us, we have Scott Brown, who is, I get the title wrong, is your Western Regional Promotional Manager or something with Dodge Chrysler Plymouth, especially Ram?
PR Manager.
Oh.
That was
okay.
A lot easier.
And then, and then we also have Lindsay Kosser, who, is that pronounced correct?
Kosser, yes.
Okay. And she is a secretary for the Outdoor Writers Association of California. We went to a conference recently, Scott and Lindsay and myself, and Scott gave me a Dodge Power Wagon. And a Power Wagon, if that sounds familiar, I believe that came about right after World War II. And it's just, I wouldn't call it a vehicle, I call it a piece of equipment. But we got some fun stuff to talk about it. But if we can get serious just for a minute, as people that listen to Fish Talk Radio know, we have a close interest in Baja. We have four sponsors down there. I've got a condo down there. And the thing I like about Cabo, obviously, is the fishing, the weather, the climate, but the people in particular are one of the reasons I like it so well. They've had some very, very difficult situations. They have hurricanes all the time, but not like this one. And they need our help. So if you would please go to Fish Talk Radio Facebook account,
right?
And then click on there's something about it and something you can do to help out. We'd really appreciate you do that. And if you do go on, even if you can't give anything, at least share it and keep it going so we can get as many as we can.
Yeah, so they can contact you, John,
yes,
at fishtalkradio.com if yeah, people need to know what to do,
yeah,
where
or
to
updates.
Go.
Yeah.
And then the one website that we are encouraging people to do is www.ligamac.org, and they are
just
very much,
yeah,
they're
just,
very
yeah,
much
just go
involved.
To Facebook, you'll find it there. Anyway, let's get to the fun stuff. Scott, we certainly appreciate everything that you've been doing for Outdoor Writers Association of California and for us and for everybody else. And then Lindsay, Lindsay and a couple other girls got to take it for a ride. But
not this girl. Well, not me.
But what you know what, Scott, is that we talked about this already, but I can't say it enough, is the Dodge Power Wagon is a piece of equipment. I mean, it doesn't get any more macho than that. I mean, it is.
Well,
you could
just
go
so
ahead.
People know what it is, John. Yeah. First, it's no longer a Dodge; it's a Ram.
Okay.
You know, we split Dodge and Ram trucks, so Ram is kind of our commercial truck division.
Okay.
But yeah, its heritage goes back to World War II, and it's a work truck. It is a piece of equipment. You know, it's built off a 2500 platform, locking differentials. You know, sway bar disconnects, big meaty off-road tires.
6.4 liter engine.
Yeah, big engine, big gas engine, a big worn winch on the front. But it's an off-road truck. It's a truck that's made for Baja. It's made for people, hunters and fishers that need to get back into the backcountry and do their thing.
But if you get one, get a step stool.
it is up in the air.
You know, I'm almost 6'3", and the floorboard came up almost to my belt.
Come on.
I'm serious. So I don't know. It'd be fun to get girls in, I'll tell you that. But
yeah,
just throw them in there. Here, let me give you a little push. But
Lindsay, you got in another thing just fine, didn't you?
I really did.
I'm sure she
totally
did.
Cool.
I'm sure she did, and I would
have
too.
But what I was going to start off with is that when I had the truck for a day or so before I left, you know, you'd think all the guys would go, "Oh man, that's really cool. That's hot, man, stuff." You know, but the people that got excited were all the girls going, "Can I drive it? Can I get my picture in it?" You know?
Yeah. It was a nice looking, it's nice
yeah,
looking,
yeah, it
and it drives.
But
nice.
Anyway, if you don't mind, when we had the truck up at Crescent City, and apparently Scott, I don't know why, but he trusted it to these three girls that took it for a little test drive. And I would like to know from Lindsay, from a woman's point of view, what she liked about the truck.
Well, actually, we took the truck to go on our activity, but by the time we got to our activity, we didn't want to get out of it. Ram really got it right this time. It's there was so many features for women once you sat into the truck. It was so awesome. The one that I really liked the most was the fact that there was a plug next to the passenger seat, So let's say you're running late and your boyfriend or your husband's totally nagging you. You don't have time to finish your hair. You could bring your straightener or your curling iron or your blow dryer with you, plug it in,
finish
your hair, touch up your makeup, all while sitting in the passenger seat in front of the visor had a mirror that was lit up. It was totally perfect.
Okay, so there you go. I have to jump in. That's the market right there. I mean, John,
right?
Now you know why the girls wanted the truck. I mean, and they had no idea. That's redundant.
Well, what other features in there did you like? Because there was stuff that I kept looking around and kept finding more things.
Oh, there was so much stuff. The seats were not only heated, but let's say you were having a hot flash, because women do that a lot, right? They turned to air conditioned. I was like, they totally made this for menopausal women. You can totally cool down without messing with the rest of the temperature in the whole car.
I'm not sure we designed it for
you
that.
You can also connect to the Wi-Fi that the truck gave off. So you can be on your phone or your laptop and totally ignoring whoever else is in the car because the Wi-Fi signal was so strong. It was awesome.
Wait, Scott had a little tidbit there. He said, I had to catch it. I don't think we designed it with those in mind.
You didn't know
look
what
at
you
how
had,
lucky
Scott.
You got. Look at that. Unbelievable.
Hey,
I think you better.
Going back to what John's saying about it being a piece of equipment, I mean, let's face it, whether you know, what you do in life, you need your vehicle to deliver. And if you need a 110 outlet in your car, or if you need a cool seat because, you know, it's 110 degrees in Los Angeles, you know, it's got to do those things.
Well, I thought an expensive European sports car was a chick magnet, but this thing worked much better.
Well, it definitely makes a statement.
Yeah. Girls and trucks are, you know, there's something about us. Go ahead.
It was manly and rugged enough for the men, but it was luxurious and it had enough features inside that the women could enjoy it just as much.
There you go, Scott. So. Wow.
I got tears running down my face.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I wish I could share the texting that was going on as these guys were driving the truck, figuring things out between the Wi-Fi, between the plugs, between Yelp.
The thing was the GPS was very supportive. The voice on the GPS, it just really made you want to trust her and follow her. You didn't feel like she was nagging. It was very nice.
That's hysterical.
And then they've got little in the back seat, which I don't know why not everybody does. You've got this kind of secret compartment on both sides. You lift it up, and it has a plastic insert. You can fill it with ice.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting that, you know, there's certain beverages that you should probably not keep in the truck while you're driving. But if you want cold drinks, you can throw them in there, or your makeup kit. And then in the back of the truck.
It doesn't melt. Your
exactly. Your lipstick doesn't melt.
While you're out there. Right. Off-roading and going
but
to
in the back, they've got places for your fishing rods and your camping gear and you know, any other equipment that you want.
It truly is
amazing.
A beautiful truck. I mean, besides all the amenities, it really is a nice truck. And I swear, John really does have tears in his eyes. He is laughing so hard he has tears coming down. Well, who are we going to be talking to? I know we're going to have to
The oyster. We went and had tasted some oysters at the conference, and we're going to have Larry Qualman from the Oyster Farms coming up. But in the interim, if anybody out there is interested at all in writing or communicating in the outdoors, get in touch with Lindsay. The Outdoor Writers Association of California is an incredible place to help anybody and bring you along. And then, Scott, I guess trying to find a Ram truck isn't that difficult.
Yeah, local Ram dealer or ramtrucks.com.
Mm-hmm. RamTrucks.com, and that has all the information on it.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
Great. I actually had a quick question, though. What's the weight? I'm going to ask the oyster guys how many oysters we have to put in that truck.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay. Well, let's put it this way. You could put you could put three or four four-wheel drive vehicles that couldn't make that up the hill, tow them behind you, and drive over the top with that thing. I know you could. It's got, 800 and some pounds of torque?
The diesel, it was like 850 pound feet of torque, and then the 6.4 liter in the Power Wagon is 429 pound-feet of torque.
Right. Oh, by the way, that diesel engine, 28 miles a gallon. Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to have to let you guys go. That was so much fun. We appreciate it. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-382-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-382-1612.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
You get in line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get in line and I'll get a pole, babe. You get in line and I'll get a pole. We'll go down to the crowded hole, honey, baby mine.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with Captain Karen Hookham. And we haven't had Mark Sidney on the line for a little bit, and I think it's starting to get to be close to that time of the year to make your reservations to go to Costa Rica.
Absolutely. How are you doing, John?
We're doing great. Well, obviously we can tell you're in Costa Rica because the sound, we can hear you okay, so we're going to go with it. But, Mark, if you don't mind, let me just take about a 30-second announcement. Is that, now, you don't, Costa Rica... Do you have a rainy season down there that usually is during our normal dry season, but
right now it's raining, which is probably one of the reasons that you're having trouble hearing me.
Oh, we hear you fine.
Well, it does that a lot.
Yeah.
So this is the rainy season, and then usually what, November, December is the time to start heading down?
Yep, usually the season begins November 1st to 15th. Especially in the South Pacific, that's when the billfish season starts in earnest.
Okay.
Right now, as a matter of fact, there are billfish around, but the Dorado and yellowfin, that's what's being caught.
Mm. Yeah. Well, now, a question for you, and it's going to lead into something else. You guys get a lot of rain, but what about hurricanes?
No, Costa Rica is one of those lucky countries because of the topography of the region. Hurricanes usually go north of us, through Nicaragua, Honduras, Salvador, and Mexico, and they seldom hit here. We get a little bit of the tail end, but nothing like sweeping hurricanes that they do up the north of us.
Right. Well, but the reason I brought that up is that we mentioned it before, and we may again, is the Baja Peninsula and Cabo San Lucas. And then up into La Paz, they have hurricanes all the time. No big deal. I've been down there in 2003 when Hurricane Marty came through, and it was about 110, 115 mile an hour winds and it was bad. It was really bad. But within 2 days, everything was back to normal. They're out sweeping the streets. Yeah, they lost 300 boats out of the marina. But anyway, but, you know, they're used to that, and they're resilient. But nobody expected 125-mile sustained winds and 6 hours of rain up to almost a foot an hour. And it really, really decimated those people. They're still without, power and electricity and water. And what we would like to do is just get people to go to Fish Talk Radio Facebook, and there's a posting on there on how you can help these people out. If you have any connection with Cabo or Baja, you like the people, you like the place, please go there. And even if you don't really have much to give, at least go there and then share it with as many people as you can. So we appreciate that. But let's get back to Mark. Fishing in Costa Rica. We haven't been down there for a while, Mark. We got to get some people organized to go.
Absolutely. Listen, as you probably know, last year was a record billfish year. There were two major tournaments. One of them over three legs, 3 days of fishing.
Oh, well, we're going to keep talking. We're going to go back with that.
Over 11,000 billfish.
Sorry. Uh-huh. Yeah, you're breaking in and out, but let's just keep going with it. Last year is a record year, and then in the summertime, from what I understand, the fishing's still good, but what you call the rainy season, and that's why when you're in the street in San Jose or down in up where you are or down in Capos or Jaco, the gutters are about 18 inches high. And I thought, well, God, why are the gutters so high? Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it rains. That's the reason why. Because the rains bring the Dorado. Because of the swollen rivers, all the branches silt, all the grass flows out of the river mouths and in and brings the Dorado in under the reed lines or the garbage lines. And right now, September, October, November, it's a great time for Dorado, mahi-mahi, here in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if we can get some people interested, we don't have a trip planned for Real Fun Adventures, but if we get some response and some people want to go, I think we could put that together. So we'd like to, if anybody's out there and they want to know more about Costa Rica, first of all, Mark has been there for some time, and he can book trips all over Costa Rica. My favorite, because I'm not really into tarpon, is to go into San Jose and drop down the hill into the Pacific side in Jaco or Capos. It's real easy, it's convenient, and it's surprisingly affordable. When you're talking about exotic locations and world-class fishing, you assume it's going to cost a lot of money. But because of the facilities that they have down there and the competition they have down there, let's put it this way. It's a lot cheaper than going to Disneyland or Disney World.
Absolutely. The fishing's better. By the way, if there are tarpon enthusiasts out there, now is the time. From now until January on the Caribbean coast, the tarpon are starting to bite. And later on, November, December, if you're interested in snook, there's a great snook run, including a smaller species called the calba, which are about...
Okay.
Keep going.
Well, hopefully we're going to be coming back with that. But if not, we'll just keep right on rolling. And then
you don't have to ask me twice about
going. Lots of other little species.
Okay. No, sorry, Mark, we lost you for about 30 seconds. But Captain Hookham said that she might like to go.
like to go. I would love to go. Okay. Costa Rica's on my bucket list.
Yeah. Places. I think it is for a lot. Because
too early for a bucket list.
Thank you. That was very kind. That's the beauty of radio.
Yeah. Actually, I just saw that movie again the other night. It was great.
But, which one?
The bucket list.
With, the bucket list. But go ahead. When is a good when's a good time to come? This isn't the
time. Well, it depends what you want to fish for.
Well, I'm a new. I'm new. I've only been doing this now for about a year, so I want something that's going to be relatively easy and rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what's lots of fun is to come down. Go to the South Pacific. That's Golfito and Puerto Jimenez. It's really pretty down there. And if you want to have some fun, a lot of inshore fishing for roosters, 12 species of snapper, barracuda, grouper, jack, a whole bunch.
Oh, okay.
Well, Mark, I would say, and I want you, you're the expert, but I think that Costa Rica... Yeah, especially on the Pacific side, is best known, and they are the ones that actually started fly fishing for sails. And if you want to catch sailfish, I don't think there's any place in the world that has the quality and quantity that you guys have. How true is that?
Absolutely. As I said, last year was a record year in a three-leg, 9-day international tournament. The boats released over 7,000 sailfish.
Wait a minute. How many boats over how much time?
Okay. There were 51 boats first leg, 49, and then 48.
So that's 150, basically.
150 fishing boats.
Uh-huh.
Well, over, but in each leg, right?
Right, okay.
So about 50 in each leg.
Yeah.
And they fished 3 days in each leg, 9-day total, and they released over 7,000 billfish.
Wow.
That's the Las Sueñas signature Triple Crown series.
Well,
it's going to be on again this year.
When is that?
January, February, and beginning of March.
Wow.
3 legs.
Well, Karen, you said you liked activity.
Yeah.
Well, can you put a line in the water? It doesn't take much more.
Yeah, we estimated there was a billfish released every 34 to 35 seconds.
Wow.
Wow. And those are primarily sails, but you do have other marlin, right?
Absolutely. Marlin season. There are times when, you know, even the marlin a couple of, 3 weeks ago, they were seeing more marlin than sails off the Pacific.
And what about the big ones?
They're not huge marlin. I mean, most of them are in the 275, 325 pound range. You do come across the 600, 700, but usually marlin, I would say 250, 325.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, pretty good. Considering I've never even caught one of them, I've only seen them being caught.
Well, in Baja is you know, there's a lot of striped marlin, a lot of billfish.
Uh-huh.
But you still see some sails, but you know, for every sails you see 10 stripes. But if you're looking for some, like you said, I'm not a patient angler, honestly.
No,
I mean,
kidding.
For me to go out, you know, and soak a worm for 2 hours, just doesn't get me excited. But when you get on a boat and you got constant activity, that's when it's really exciting.
Yeah, if you're looking for billfish, sails especially, come down here between January 15th and the end of March.
End of March? Okay.
Yeah, between January 15th and end of March. John knows where it is. Las Sueñas Marina, which is now about just 75 minutes by car from San Jose. And then Capos, another 40 minutes further south. And that's where you want to fish. They have a new marina in Capos, really going all out. Pace Vela Marina, doing great.
Oh, yeah. There we go. That's when we need to make a trip.
Okay. Well, and it's so easy. You can fly into Costa Rica. Now, if you're going to go down to Golfito, do you drive or do you fly down there?
You can do either. If you come in early, it's a gorgeous drive.
Yeah, through the coffee plantations and then, or you can just go down
to... Stop on the way for a cold one.
Yeah.
Or it's a 55 55-minute flight, commuter flight.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, of course, you can just drive down through San Antonio State Park. And your website, real quick, Mark, we got to go.
Okay, fishcostarica.com, simple.
Fishcostarica.com. I think most of us can remember that.
Well, great. Well, we hope to see you there.
Okay, Mark, thank you again very much. Sorry
thank
about that rain
much.
and the reception, but we appreciate it.
Thanks.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we're going to be right back with you. I'm John Hennigan, host of Fish Talk Radio. This is Common Sense Conservation, brought to you by Santa Monica Seafood. We have Bob Wade from Santa Monica Seafood. Bob, what do we have going today?
The question on the table is about the life cycle and the return of how salmon, with their indigenous blueprint on their brain, perform a great value for us in the dining world to have a consistent, sustainable resource. As we know, salmon are produced in fresh water, small amount of time in rivers, they migrate out to the ocean, and they spend anywhere between 3 and 5 years in an environment in the ocean, living, breathing, until Mother Nature rings an intrinsic bell in their head to return to their river of birth. Very interesting opportunity. And the more that we can return to the ocean on birth, obviously through water, making sure rivers have plenty, impediments like hydro impingements, dams, is going to allow more to return to the nature that they were born and raised in. We harvest these animals as they return to finish the life cycle in a saltwater environment. They'll return to a freshwater environment, complete life cycle with a long endurance migration back up through freshwater to breed and then perish. But even with their perishing, they will supply into the back into the life cycle of our river systems that will supply animal life, protein life to sustain the river systems that we've become so used to enjoying.
Santa Monica Seafoods works for sustainable fisheries.
East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at vivalapaz.com. Viva La Paz!
Kentucky Lake and Barkley, Sardis, Ross, Burnett, Toledo Bend, Rayburn, and Conroe, he won't forget.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with Captain Karen Hookham. And we are having so much fun. That was a great segment. So you want to go to Costa Rica?
Oh, do I ever. Mm-hmm. We were trying to plan a trip there for Thanksgiving with our family to do like a family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, we got on it too late. And so we had to switch gears and go to Hawaii instead. So I guess Hawaii is not as bad, but Costa Rica would have been a place that I would have loved to have gone. So who do we have?
I believe we have Mark Lassane. We found him. Apparently, the oyster farmers are out farming, but we do have Mark from the Bass Angler magazine, bassanglermag.com. Is
Hi,
that right?
Hi, Mark.
Hi, yeah, we're out farming bass.
There you go. Hey, first of all, it's always fun, you know, to get reports, but it's even more fun when we got, you got a fish on, don't you?
Because this missed another awesome. One. Blew up on top water.
Well, good, good. We're more important than your stupid tournament.
We're good luck, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that. But where are you right now, Mark?
Right now, we're out in the California Delta.
Uh-huh. And is it big mouth or striped bass, or what are you looking for?
We're fishing for largemouth.
Yeah.
Large you know, mouth, yeah. I had a tournament last weekend. I'm with a friend of mine. Has a tournament in another week or so. So we're out here getting tuned up.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, you can fish for bass most of the year, but when does it kind of peak out?
You know, well, it kind of tapers off in December, January, and about the middle of February are the months that it's pretty slow for bass fishing.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, you could pretty much catch them. Right now, the water's warm, and we're throwing topwater. We're throwing these big old giant buzz baits for them, and these big giant fish are blowing up and hitting it. And, you know, today, we had a front blow through yesterday, so the fish are biting a little bit funny.
Well, could you do...
Wait a minute, I want to ask that question. What do you mean by funny? What is it?
You know, they're coming up and hitting the bait, but they're not getting hooked.
Oh.
And we hooked a couple today, and they're like hooked in the top of the head and not in the mouth. So they just
they've got Alzheimer's today.
they act a little strange, you know, like they're hungover. So I don't know.
They're drunk. That's funny.
Yeah,
okay, so a little funny. I get it. Okay.
A little funny.
Okay, a little funny. But anyway, to get a visual, this is radio, but could you describe the boat, the gear, type of line, and what it is you're doing to be losing these fish, and hopefully catching some?
Well, on the boat, we have like a 20-foot, if you didn't know what a bass boat was, you might think it was a skiff with a 250 horsepower outboard on the back. So this thing really rips. I mean, they go about 70 miles an hour. Then we have a trolling motor on the front that has about a, 4-horsepower trolling motor that we use to maneuver around.
And then what kind of rod, reel, and line?
Well, I'm using Akuma rods, bait casters, rod and reel, and right now we're using a braided line, like 65-pound braided line. Because we're fishing for big ones, and when we hook them, we want to be able to get them in the boat. Plus, braided line doesn't have a lot of stretch, so a lot of the techniques we're doing, we don't want the extra stretch in the line.
Right. So when you pull on it, it doesn't give. It goes direct to the hook.
It goes direct to the hook. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a little easier to hook the fish that way.
Mm-hmm. And then of course, braided line. 5-6 years ago, people were kind of afraid of it. But from what I tell most of the professional anglers, especially because it'll cut through weed and grass.
Yeah, cut through the tulies. And when you get stuck in the tulies, you don't have to go over and get it. You just tear it out. It makes it nice, for a lot of applications. If you're throwing a crankbait or something with a treble hook, it's not really the best line because it doesn't have any stretch. And a lot of times, folks tear out of the fish.
Right. Well, we were talking earlier. I'm not a very patient angler. And obviously, when you're bass fishing, you don't have a lot of patience because you're constantly working. But I'm curious because I haven't done a lot of bass fishing. Let's just say that you made a 1,000 casts in a day.
Okay.
How many, percentage-wise, how many times would you get a hit?
God, I mean, it all depends on the day. I mean, yesterday we got about a bite every 100 casts or so. We got about 50 fish yesterday.
Wow, okay.
Today, I think, we probably landed like 20.
Uh-huh.
We probably had 40 bites, but today we're a little bit different. So yesterday I took a couple guys out. We just wanted to catch fish and have a good time. So we're throwing smaller baits. Fishing slower. Today we're using bigger baits, more topwater baits, because we're looking for bigger, better quality fish to do well in a tournament.
And this time of the year, the bass are on the top of the water?
This time of the year, bass will come up to the top of the water and hit.
Mm-hmm.
And especially today, every day is different. The conditions will dictate how you fish. Today we're throwing topwater because we have a lot of smoke in the air. So it's almost like it's overcast. We have the big fires. Down in Sacramento, blowing smoke across the delta and kind of making it a little bit cloudy.
Oh, that's terrible. That's right about the fires. I forgot that was happening.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, actually, we drove up through there over the weekend, and you could, there was something small down where we were, but after we left, apparently, it kept on going. And, you know, this weather is certainly unusual. And by the way, speaking of the weather, Mark, let me just make another quick announcement, because as we know, and as you know, Southern Baja is my favorite place, and we have many sponsors and many, many friends down there. And they have a lot of hurricanes.
Yeah, but, I saw that.
But they don't have many like this. Hurricane Odell is, I think there's 67 at tide, but it's the most powerful hurricane ever to hit. And I don't think they're expecting that. So if we could get people to go to the Facebook at Fish Talk Radio and click on, there's a way that they can click on and see if they can help these people that have any inclination of helping these people down there.
Yeah, you know what I did? I saw some of the pictures on your Facebook. I'm going to share them up on mine. I just haven't quite done it yet.
Oh, I appreciate that. Hey, by the way, when you go to fishtalkradio.com, make sure you go to the personalities page and you can learn all about them. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I know you got a new good-looking guy on there.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, I think we found the oyster farmer. So, Mark, thank you very much, and good luck in the tournament.
All right, we just got one on.
So okay. There you go. Okay.
Hang up.
Okay. All right. See you later.
Bye, Mark.
Okay.
I think
we found the oyster farm. Who do we have on the line?
Shorty.
This is Shorty.
Shorty. You know what? With a name like Shorty, you must be 6 feet tall.
Not even 5 foot tall.
Okay.
So it's
anyway, we did find you. We got a little bit tight on space, but you're located in Coos Bay, Oregon, and I did get to taste your oysters when we were up in Crescent City, and they are phenomenal. Could you? I don't know how much time we have, but can you give us a little quick idea on what an oyster farm is and how you do it?
We buy larvae, which is the baby oysters. We have to stick them in a tank with some empty shells because oysters will not cling to anything else but another oyster shell. Mm-hmm. And we start them from the tiniest little speck. They are about the size of smaller than a pinhead. And once they attach themselves to the shell, they get thrown in the bay and sit for a minute, yank back out, and we sort them. And half of them get put on the stakes and half of them get shoveled off in the mud. And we wait about 22 to 34 months, and we get to go harvest them again.
Oh, so about 2 years then is all it takes.
It's actually just like a regular plant farm, but it's all with oysters.
And I know the ones that you had, they're delicious. Do you like big ones, small ones, or is there any particular ones that
there's
oysters?
There's so many variety, though. So which ones do you have?
Well, which do you grow and which do you
have? We have the Pacific oysters here, and we have all sizes. We have them from petites to extra small, smalls, medium, large, mm-hmm. extra, extra large.
And what I would like to do, I know, Shorty, you've only been there for about a year, but I'm sure you've eaten a few oysters.
Actually, I do not eat oysters. I farm them.
I'm a farmer. It's okay. All right, but you know what to do with them.
Yes.
Give us some tips. I mean, obviously, you just open them.
Well, when you're shucking, you open them with the shucking knives. You can get a grill, like your barbecue or whatever. You get them really, really hot, and then you put the oysters on there and wait until they pop open themselves.
Oh, yeah, that's really
if it's hot enough before you put them on, they will pop open themselves when they're done.
Yeah, just like brats.
Microwave them.
Yeah, right.
You can fry them. You can make oysters.
Well, you know, when we saw Larry, he was actually opening. Normally, I thought you just had to take a slot screwdriver and pop the hinge, but he was opening from the other end.
Yeah.
And apparently, it helps protect the juices and things inside, and it worked.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of the chefs will open them from the hinge because it keeps any chance of the veil being cut. But we here, when we're taught to shuck, we are taught to do it from the other end. Because
you know why? I can tell you why. You have to be very careful. My mom, we were shucking on the porch, and you do it the wrong way, you're in the hospital getting stitches.
Oh, yeah.
Put the knife through my hand a couple times.
Yeah, it sounds scary.
Anyway, but I like the idea Of the microwave. I never thought about that.
You can take about six of them and put them in a microwave and microwave them for about 6 to 10 minutes, and they will pop just like on a barbecue. And
there you go.
From what the other coworkers I have say, they taste just like they were on the barbecue.
Right. And then, of course, on the barbecue, it's football season. So when you're doing your bratwurst, crank the heat up and put a couple oysters. And first of all, if somebody wants some, how do we get in touch with you? Where do we find them?
You find them at 541-888-3145 is how you can get a hold of us and call. And we do ship oysters.
And it's Qualman, Qualman Oyster Farms.
Yeah.
Just Google that and get some shipped down, and we got to see if we can get some.
All right,
we got to go.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Been listening
You're
to Fish
so
Talk
welcome,
Radio.
Okay. Wish I had more info for you.